Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, up on TSN 4. Brian Azio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Got Mike Johnson coming up here in a moment. Get Johnny's taking the Leaf win last night. The Calgary loss in Vegas. You know, there's a lot going on in the league right now. We're into the stretch run here. And you know it's almost spring, and it's a great time of year when you've got starters being announced around baseball, right? Alec Manoah was announced as the opening day starter for the Jays today, which I don't think is a surprise at all.
I thought that Gause was sniffing around.
I think Kevin Gausman definitely was sniffing around. What's interesting is Barrios was the opening day starter last year, and that was indisputable. And this year, it wasn't even close.
Dude, I haven't heard his name once. Is this guy okay, or what is the report on him?
Well,
honestly, haven't heard his name once, Brian.
And there's a reason for that. He was at the WBC, so he was. I don't think he did much at the WBC, but he was there. Now he's back. He's trying to. His arm is there. Like, he's going to pitch, and he's going to be fine, and he's going to break camp clearly as a part of the rotation. But I'm with you. There has not been much on Barrios. Like, he's changing his. It looks like he's kind of trying to change some of his rotation. I saw Kikuchi in particular is like moving to different parts of the mound, trying to recapture whatever magic
Kikuchi
he maybe had.
Good.
Say this about Kikuchi, and someone pointed this out to me yesterday. His pants are tighter. And people are wondering if there's a Robbie Ray element to what Kikuchi is trying to achieve here.
Yeah, but maybe he put on a 10 spot in the offseason.
Maybe also
the
possible.
Same pants.
Also yeah. Possible.
Maybe Pete Walker said, dude, you need to put on 10 pounds if you want to be better. And he did. So his pants are tighter.
Or Pete Walker said, wear tight pants.
Like Robbie
One
Ray.
Or the other.
Like Robbie Ray. Yeah. Like,
listen,
I don't know.
Robbie
like,
Ray tight pant routine led to a Cy Young. So that is in the arsenal for Pete Walker. I guarantee it. Should be. Tight wow. pant whisperer, Pete Walker.
Either way, I mean, Pete they need Walker. Him. They need these guys to get going. They need starters and a rotation that is dangerous from 1 to 5, right?
Yep.
Like, that's all I care about. And. Yeah, are you comfortable with the relievers? Are you comfortable?
Yeah,
you
I know, think they like, got enough depth back there. I mean, you never know. A bullpen is difficult to project.
Yeah.
You know, it can change.
I just want Kikuchi to go in there and be chicken strips. Just give 5 solid and get the hell out of there, because that's what Strips did.
That's what Strips did. Hyunjin Ryu did that. They're still holding out hope that Ryu was going to return.
I saw
by
that.
Playoff
I
time.
I saw
from,
that.
I just. Pull from Al's brother, I just don't see it happening.
No way.
I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
That's a long way for, like, that's a lot of ground to make up for him.
Yes.
What does Ryu make? Doesn't he make
20.
A 20 spot?
20 spot. Yeah. This is year 4. 20.
20.
Yep.
Like, and we don't even think twice about it. It's just 20.
Nothing.
Like, you know. Like 20 sheets a year. That's just average salary for.
He threw 80 sheets in his jeans, and then he's just going to walk away and say thanks a lot.
Yeah, he was up for the Cy in the COVID year. He gave them what 13 starts? I think 12 or 13 yeah. starts. Got blown up in the playoff game. Blown up in the playoff game down at the Trop. And he's making 20. Barrios is making a lot of change. His deal kicked in this year, and Kikuchi's still making like $10 million cash.
15.
Yeah, it's like I think over the balance of the contract, it averaged out to like it was a $36 million deal for Kikuchi, so 13 per year. But I think it was front loaded, so technically they're paying him less. But still,
right.
those are three guys who are making a lot of change, wow. and Ryu's not even available to them. And Barrios and Kikuchi, you're talking redemption. That's what you're talking
yeah.
redemption for guys like that. So Steve Phillips will join us in about an hour, and. Steve's president, of course, is up here, right? Joe Biden. We played the clip to start last hour. Joe yeah. Biden's in Ottawa, and he's at Parliament today. And the Leafs are taking shrapnel from Joe Biden. I wonder if Trump will use that in some way. I doubt it. I don't think there's anything there for him to use. But it's a speechwriter, right? It's a good play. Like we said an hour ago, it's a good play. When in doubt, drop a Leaf line, and people will react in this country.
Steve Phillips was taking shrapnel from that Russo dude down in the States today. I don't know if you saw that, but there was some kind of – was it today or some kind of heated argument about Ohtani? And I don't know. Apparently this Russo guy, people were just losing it on him on Twitter about – just the way he was handling. We'll have to ask Steve about it.
Yeah, that was last night, I believe, and it was it's Mad Dog, and he was. You got to hear the clip. He was downplaying the significance of Ohtani versus Trout, but I think at the essence of his point, what he was saying was like Trout didn't bring enough to make it a great at bat, which but that is true when you consider like Trout did not touch the ball, like. The context of it was amazing, and he was downplaying that. I totally disagree with him there.
Just getting a little bit picky where it's just like it was greatness and one guy overpowered the other guy. You can't have like one guy nibbling at greatness to make it all great. I think it was just a stupid point.
I agree with you in terms of downplaying the significance of the moment and the fact that it was a 3-2 ball game, the finals, two team. It was amazing.
Dude, like I said, it goes back to everyone just complaining. Trout versus Ohtani was not good enough for that guy. Right. He had to complain about it, that it could have been greater if Mike Trout fouled off five balls.
I agree.
It's
but
insane.
He's allowed that opinion. Like I saw Marcus Stroman is like saying the guy should be fired or something. Why? Because he doesn't share your opinion, Stroman? Like, that's absurd too. Like, the guy's, okay, you can disagree with his opinion, but the idea that, what, he should be fired because he doesn't think the Ohtani Trout at bat was the greatest thing that's ever happened? I mean, have some respect.
That's fake. Like, it's fake outrage. That's
I disagree with the guy. It's fake outrage on both sides.
Right.
I think is what we're saying here.
Yeah.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. What's happening, Johnny?
No fake outrage here, Hayes. I'm very upset. Listen, I think sometimes, though, and maybe if the Mad Dog is the case or not, like, if over the course of time, months and months, people keep saying, whatever analyst it might be, ridiculous things solely to be difficult or different or to downplay whatever, like then maybe it is, not that he should be fired, but, like, should he keep having that job? You know what I mean?
Like, he does it every day.
watch yourself, Johnny.
Well, I'm just saying, if it's right out to lunch and you're saying it just to say it, and I got, you know, I see that Mad Dog on that show all the time.
Yeah, it seems, Johnny, like there is a lot of, I actually don't believe what I'm saying right now, but I want to sound like a moron to get clicks and to have people, because as much as we can be three donkeys a lot of the time, there is so much screaming and yelling going on there, and it's kind of like there's nothing behind it. It's just to yell and scream and clickbait. It's nonsense.
Yeah, it's empty calorie debate made just to debate whether you really believe it or not. Anyways, I think that probably goes not just for him, but there's probably a lot of that in different sports commentary debate type shows where the arguments, they don't even they can't really believe them. They just make them because they know that it will get attention. And when that's the case, then at some point, that's probably doing a disservice to the baseball game that they're covering. And I think that might be true.
Well, I think it gets old if you're consistently a contrarian, right? It's not possible to have a contrarian view on everything. You know, like clearly that's formulated. Like clearly it is fabricated. But, you know, the idea of getting attention and getting people to watch and listen, that's the point. Like, that is exactly what – guess what we're doing right now? We're literally talking about it so that people can seek it out. You know, I mean, that's kind of the element of the gig.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But when I see Mad Dog on, for him, for example, and I'm like, I got no time for this guy. Like, I don't want to watch it live because I don't want to watch what he has to say, because at some point – you lose the credibility of, like, okay, you don't have to obviously agree with everything or anything, but you need to have some sort of substance behind what you're saying, not just making the case just to be different. Otherwise, I think you will eventually lose the credibility and then eventually the audience.
But people people tune in to hear Stephen A. Smith's contrary. Like, he's a guy who really shoots from the hip and kind of goes, on the outside.
There's no one bigger. Nobody bigger. Like, and Mad Dog's been doing it for 40 years.
Right?
So it's not going to change.
Maybe, but like I won't listen to Skip Bayless talk about LeBron James anymore.
Yeah, because that's purely an act. Purely an act.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he starts talking about basketball, the Lakers, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, all right, moving on here. How about what we do best and what we talk about daily? And that would be, you know, the Leafs and the National Hockey League, and they had themselves a win last night. And we were talking about Matthews last hour, and I thought he was outstanding last night.
Yeah.
Two goals, chugging, you know, puck retrieval. A lot of it's you can see how he skates through the neutral zone. Like, that's really a marker of, like, this guy's got something cooking, man. Like, if he is a big dude moving through the middle of the ice, you can tell he's in the mood, and it's incredibly difficult to defend. What have you seen out of him recently, not just last night, that leads you to believe that he is building up here? And maybe his mentality in a weird way has been, you know, a microcosm of the team. Like, get me to the playoffs, and you're going to see the real deal here.
Yeah, so I don't think necessarily that he was, like, keeping it in check because, you know, he's waiting for the playoffs. I think he hasn't been healthy. I think there's been numerous things that have gone on in his body this year, whether it's his knee, his lower body, his wrist. And I just wonder, like any great player, when you move properly, when you skate well, the rest of your game sort of comes together. But I wonder for him, like his hand or his wrist, which I think had been bothering to start the year and bothering at times during the year, it feels like he is handling it so much cleaner, more authoritatively, just kind of more comfortably, what we're used to seeing. And I wonder if the hands for him are tied to his legs. Like when he feels like his hands are working right, when he can do what he wants with the puck, make it dance the way he wants it to, then he skates better, he handles it cleaner, he gets the more open ice, he just looks more dangerous. And that's what I've seen the last couple of weeks. Like it's the legs look better, but I almost wonder if it's somehow because the hands are better that allows him to move more comfortably, more confidently around because it's all sort of come together and you're seeing the guy that we're used to seeing where, you know, game in, game out, he's dangerous, effective, and he gets open ice, he gets open looks far more often than maybe he was earlier in the season.
Johnny, you know, I was talking about last hour. I wasn't, you know, you're not worried about Austin Matthews. You just want health for him. Who do you think on that roster needed a good game last night and got it?
Well, you know what? I think John Tavares, who's had just a really fantastic season. But I just think like having him sort of be around the puck and have enough pace to his game and create his chances. He went through a stretch because, you know, we say it all the time, right? Don't worry about not scoring. Worry about when you don't get chances. He was getting pretty quiet. Not a lot of shots, not a lot of looks. And I thought he was on it again last night. When he gets pucks on his stick in and around the net, good things happen. So I thought maybe him having a nice night was significant. I don't know how much stake we think Kerfoot's going to have, but like scoring your first goal in 25, that probably does matter for a guy who's likely to play a role in the playoffs. And Noodles, Matt Murray again, having a pretty good game. Like, that's a couple in a row now where he's played well, he's moved well, he's been athletic and acrobatic. And with Samsonov at home, with the birth of a kid coming up, also maybe a little nicked up, like, there's a chance for Matt Murray to go on a run here, play more of the game, play well enough to show, once again, you can trust me when it comes to playoff time. I thought it's like backing up a good game with another good one is important for Murray.
Johnny, what is the ideal plan for you, like, to be completely dialed in come playoff time? You clearly don't want anybody injured. Like, what is the right combination of kind of load management with some players, having everybody dialed in, stop screwing around and tinkering, and then being ready for the playoffs? How do you kind of get to that point for you?
Well, the first thing is first is health, right? So if anyone who's got anything sort of bothering them, whether it's lingering aches and pains or pulls, then you do what you have to do to clean that up as best you can. And then, I think it is of continuity, the lines and the D pairs. That doesn't mean they're never going to change in the playoffs, but with all the new bodies in Toronto and all the question marks with so many defensemen available, I think just having everyone understanding this is the way we're going to start. This is who you're going to play. This is the role you're going to play. This is the matchup. Like, you know, when the rotations as far as, you know, when the other team's top line comes out, we're looking to get these matchups. That kind of stuff. And I'd like to see that last five games sort of really coalesce into, like, where it's obvious what's going on as they prepare to start the playoffs. Now, some of that is dependent on health and Ryan O'Reilly. But that's what I'd like to see, both forwards and defense. Like, this is what we're going to do to start the playoffs and get used to it.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, So the Leafs in Carolina tomorrow. The Leafs are in Nashville on Sunday. And, you know, they're in a good spot. They won last night. But there's Tampa getting their doors blown off again by Ottawa. And we had the discussion yesterday. We're going to have it countless times in the next 3 weeks because we know what's coming. It's Leafs-Tampa in the first round. But what do you see out of Tampa here that leads you to believe this is simply – I don't know if you do. Like, is it meaningful? Is it meaningless? Are they just going to snap out of it and, boom, they're ready for a fourth cup run? Because based on watching them and seeing what's going on with them nightly, something feels up. Like, something's not right with Tampa right now.
Listen, Hayes, I was there. But the first game I've called of Tampa this year. So first time watching them firsthand last night. And there's no question that the mood around the team is exactly what people have thought it is, in that, you know, their focus is sort of just on the playoffs. Like, they don't really, they want home ice, of course, but they've sort of waned in their attention and their push to the regular season. Like, they know they're locked in. They're playing Toronto, very likely to be on the road now. And it doesn't seem like they really are getting motivated to play for anything because there's nothing for them to really play for. So that's the mood. Now, can they just flip that switch when they get to the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, they will be better than they've been. But I think also you watch them play, and there's some guys, the bottom end, like the fifth, sixth defenseman, you know, Ian Cole and Nick Perbix, like, not the same. Like, they're not – it's not the same as when they had McDonough. You know, when you have different players up there in Yamruta. Like, it's not as good. When you look at their third and fourth line days, like, they're not as good. So both are probably true. Like, they are bored and will play better, but they're not as good. And that, I mean, Vasilevsky is the ultimate wild card because you never know how great he can be. But that team is not as good as they've been in previous years.
What about the I was watching, like, the Slewfoots and then the spirited debate. Like, that got gritty last night. Like, they're pretty emotional considering, you know, it's an Ottawa-Tampa game. There's not a ton of history, but it seemed like there was some emotions kind of after a couple of questionable hits type of thing.
Yeah, well, the one thing Tampa's always been capable of doing is, even though they could outskill you with all their stars, like, they could also get pretty greasy. Like, they had no problem with a whole bunch of their players getting chippy, getting edgy, and it sort of went down that road last night. When it was Jacob Chychrun and Hedman, like, I thought that was a trip. I don't think it was a Slewfoot so much that, you know, he kind of stuck his foot out there and tripped him. And yeah. Chychrun didn't like it, and they had more of a calm debate. Like, they weren't about to fight about it, but they were actually trying to reason with each other, which is pretty funny. But you know what? Pat Maroon chimes in, and Corey Perry chimes in, and, you know, Steven Stamkos was pretty verbal last night. But I think that's, you know, maybe part of them trying different ways to sort of get themselves going, because it's been more than a month now where they're, like, last 16 games, they're, what, two games under 500 or something like that? Like, that's not 20% of the season. They've been below 500. Like, that's not very good. And that's, you know, coming up on enough time to get rattled. And I think some of that manifested itself in that physical play. But that's also part of stuff that Tampa does. Like, they feel comfortable when things get really chippy because their top players don't mind playing that way.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So the Flames lose to Vegas last night. And prior to it, I think it was yesterday during after the pregame skate or something, Sutter was asked about ice time for his top players. And, you know, he gave a good answer. And he effectively said, the only thing I could do as a coach is withhold ice. And then was asked to detail more on that. Like, is there a difference between a veteran and a young player? And he said, if it's a young player, you're getting them through it. You're talking them through it. You're trying to engage with them. He basically said, if it's a vet, I'm not saying a peep. Like, you're a vet and you should know better. That was kind of my read on the situation. So naturally, people are like, hey, I wonder what Huberto is going to look like tonight. And everyone's breaking down the tape for Jonathan Huberto. And he played 14 seconds in the final 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
And everyone was outraged that they needed a goal. How they needed a goal, and everyone's like, everyone's tweeting, you know, you need a goal, and he's sitting on the bench. What's your take on that, Johnny?
I mean, I think there's time for coaches to send messages and to rule the, you know, a tougher fist and kind of be, you know, hold guys accountable that way. And there's a time to say, yeah, okay, whatever. You maybe haven't played that well, and I'm not happy with how it's gone, but like, we need you. And so, should I have the third or fourth line out there with 2 minutes left? Oh, you know what it's like. You, like, let's say it's a night where you're having a bad, like a super important game, and you're not having a great night so far, but you're one of the best goal scorers on the team. And they pull the goalie, and they are desperate for a goal to keep their playoff hopes alive in what has been a disappointing year. And they put on some guy who scored, you know, 10 goals in the year when you're a 40 goal scorer the year prior. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, that's not the time to send the message. That's not the time to hold guys accountable. That's the time to say, listen, you're the better player. Like, go do it. I don't care if you played crappy all game. Like, go out there and do it. I get it. Because that game was so important in the context that there's so few games left for them that, you know, I don't care if he's not having as good of a night as Walker Dewar. Don't put Walker Dewar on the ice.
Like, I think Uncle Daryl has basically said, this is not going to be good if we don't get in and this continues. And these guys have been dogs all year, and I'm not doing it, and they're going to be known. They continue to play poorly, so he's just like, screw it. I'm not giving them the opportunity because they've been terrible all year.
Well, there was a lot of Twitter coaches, as you could tell, last night. But, I mean, I watched that, and to me, you had the guys that were going to try and score. I think it was Mangiapane, Lindholm, and Toffoli who's been their best line. That was the last, I think, $120 of their – there was a timeout in there as well.
Yeah, like I'm sure, Jamie, you know him better than anybody. If you show some signs of life, he'll be like, all right, at least you're giving me something to go off of that you can maybe turn it around. But if you give him nothing, he's just going to say, screw you, man.
I think Kadri got out there too, which, I mean, you know, you're right. You're paying a guy that much starting next year, but the guy's had not a good year. And he wasn't mm-hmm. – he had an assist last night. I thought it was a pretty good assist. But I think, you know, ultimately you're right. Like, you can argue as to – how it looks, but you put your best players out. Like, he hasn't been one of them, unfortunately.
He has 60 less points than last year. Well, maybe more.
Well, more than that. I mean, he's on pace, I believe, for 56 points or something. He had 115 last year. Like, that's a big drop.
66 points fewer right now. 66 points fewer. Having said that, as bad as it's been, you know, he's still 1 point out of being the third highest scoring forward. And so that's where I'm like, yeah, well, this is why we differ in opinion. It matters to me. If we miss the playoffs, we get out, we're out, then you might not play again. Like, I'll scratch you, whatever. But in these moments, I think you got to go with your best player. And, Neil's like the fair point. Like, the guys in front of him are not terrible players that are going out there. But I think in the last couple of minutes, he also has a third or fourth line out there prior to the goalie being out. And, you know, that's what you pay them for, and you're losing it either way.
I could see, like, that's the thing. I could see, like, you know, there's a lot of logic behind, like, just put your best players out, and if they fail, then it's on their best players. I think that's the main logic behind everyone's argument, which I don't disagree with, but I think if you're watching the game and going, this guy is light years away from being a difference maker, I got an instinct of who is my difference maker or who is involved in that. So you're right. It's an argument as to, like, the bigger picture, or it's an argument of who you trust to get that equalizer right at that moment.
Well,
you know,
big picture, because let's call a spade here. Calgary, they're 6 points out now with 9 games to go. The chances of them getting in, very, very
slim. Over,
buddy. It's effectively over. So the question in Calgary is going to be, can Sutter and Huberto coexist? Like, that's what people are talking about, is what is the future here? And how much of it is Huberto? How much of it is a new situation? Like, 60-plus points, that's Huberto. Sorry, I don't care who's behind the bench. You cannot be – it's the player, like, first and foremost. But what happens here in the future, because it has got to be a panic-inducing situation.
Yeah,
when you're
he
giving
needs
this
to
guy
get over
kind of
a lot, Hayes. I honestly think a lot of his problems and his struggles on the ice, the shock of being dealt. He loved Florida. He was awfully successful, and I think that phone call honestly stunned him to a degree where it was just like he couldn't get over it. Well, and the contract and everything eased the pain a little bit, but in the back of his head, he's still And it's a big thing. There's been a lot of people talking about the human side of getting traded and what goes into it. I think that phone call stunned him to a degree where he still had, shook him to a degree where he could not get over it. Everybody likes Ferraris in Florida and pools and outdoor stuff. And he loved all of it, man. Why wouldn't you? And he was, you know, a big part of the team. And that transaction shook him, as Johnny just said.
I don't disagree. I mean, I don't know. Oh, you weren't traded. You signed, right? I can't remember. Johnny, you've been traded before?
I've been traded 3 times, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you felt like it was coming or not. I had one kind of
nothing to this degree, though.
But the other thing too is he had such a comfortable situation in Florida. It was Huberto and Barkov. Like we were talking about, you talk Matthews and Marner. You talk about, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, like partners and tandems. They were one of the best tandems in the National Hockey League. Like and not just for 1 year, for several years. And, you know, as Barkov recovered, Barkov obviously is I think he's an unbelievable talent. I really do. And I think Huberto is a better player than this, clearly.
Yeah, clearly he is.
Clearly.
And he will be. The question is, you know, will it happen immediately next year? Is it something Sutter can do that will charge it? I doubt it. I mean, I don't think Daryl Sutter, based on what we've known about him forever, he's going to spend the offseason thinking about Huberto, you know, like the way he operates, it'll be you figure it out. You're the pro. You're 30. You're making money, and that's probably a valid stance. Like I can understand that, but something's going to give in Calgary. Like this.
But I don't think what's going to give. Like I think both guys are going to be there. Like I think you know one of the reactions might be, well, will the coach be back? You know, like if he's that important. But I don't think Daryl Sutter's going anywhere. Like I think they're going to have to try to figure it out. Together, which might be a challenge. I think you are 100% correct. Like, yeah. I think, like, he was so, his world turned upside down that he didn't get the contract that he felt he deserved after a 115-point season. He's the franchise leading scorer. And then he gets dealt because they wanted to change things up. And then, now he's not the blame, but it's his responsibility. But he signed in Calgary without ever even going to Calgary. You know, and I would have too. Like, you give me $90 million, yeah, I'll sign it, and I'll figure out the rest. But, you know, I think he was so upended by the deal. Like, he just reacted, okay, I'm going to sign there, I'm going to get the big money, and, you know, it'll be fine. And it hasn't really been fine. Like, it hasn't been a great fit for him. I think he's, you know, the adjustment off the ice, city, organization, coach, teammates have kind of made the one on the ice that much tougher. I think you're 100% right. And then once it went bad, it's Canadian market, and it just started out so slowly. And to be honest, like I was traded for Darcy Tucker, right? Like one of the bane of my existence was coming home in the playoffs, and everyone like telling me how great Darcy Tucker is. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, leave me alone. I don't want to hear it. And he's got Matthew Tkachuk. I'm doing segments on why Matthew Tkachuk can be a finalist for the Hart Trophy. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't make it any easier for him. So a lot of things, most of it his own making, have made his year very difficult, and he's kind of produced accordingly.
He's like one of the Butabi brothers was upset. They had their little breakup, and he needs to hear the music again. Night at the Roxbury. Dun, 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 dun. He needs to hear the dun, 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 dun.
You two brothers?
No.
Yes.
Don't they do that like...
That's an old reference, man. I don't know. We might be aging ourselves.
Our listeners won't know that.
What is it? Steve Kattan or
Butabi? Wasn't it Butabi?
The Butabi brothers. Yeah, but Kattan and Will Ferrell.
Oh yeah, Steve Kattan. Yeah, that's right.
Chris Kattan. That's it. Chris Kattan.
Oh yeah, Chris Kattan.
Yeah. he's a different dude, man. He was on like Big Brother. Celebrity Big Brother, and he lasted like one show and pulled his shoe.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone was like, what's up with this cat? Like, content.
Oh, my God. Do you want to go out tonight? No.
No.
Yes.
All right, Johnny, we'll leave it there, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory. Arriving daily, it's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
How ridiculous
JP,
was that
JP, hook
move?
Us great up
movie.
Coming in. JP, hook us up coming in.
So good. Because remember, he's supposed to marry, what's her name? Mary Catherine Gallagher. What's her name?
That's right.
Yeah, and the other Butalbi brother's bent out of shape that he's just, I don't know what.
Yeah,
was.
Molly Shannon is her name. Molly Shannon.
That's
is
right.
In the movie. Yeah, and he's, yeah, that is a great movie, man. I haven't seen that in a while. I might have to come into the equation this weekend.
Pull it up and just fire that thing on when you got an hour to yourself.
Yeah, you know, great call.
We'll have to get. I got a buddy. His name is Lachlan Monroe.
He's in that movie.
Exactly. I just remembered that he's the guy who's like, you got to work on your tries.
He steps in with Molly Shannon after Butalbi leaves. Remember, he's like, I'll marry you right now. And she's like, fine, let's go. And he steps in and ends up marrying her.
I should text him. I haven't talked to him in a while. That would be really funny. See what's up.
That is a great movie. Steve Phillips coming up in about a half an hour. His take on Alek Manoah getting the ball opening day. The Jays are less than a week away from starting things up. So we'll catch up with Steve. Dear Hazy B in about an hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. The thing is about this song is not a great club song. Like, I know it's synonymous with
Let
clubs,
it breathe, JP. Let it breathe.
It's almost like a parody of, like, a real club song, right? Like, you went to a club in the 90s. Was this thing banging at midnight?
Oh, yeah, this was banging. And you would wear, like, a T-shirt and a blazer that was open. Wasn't it the two of these guys on, and Jim Carrey was on Saturday Night Live doing this with them, too?
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. It was. So many movies came out of Saturday Night Live. When was the last time that happened, though? Like, when was the last time there was a great SNL character?
That died a long time ago, man.
Yeah, you can't. You can't nowadays. Like, it just, the topics, like, Saturday Night Live was quite edgy. Very edgy.
Yeah, but this was more creative. Like, the Butalbi brothers is not edgy. It's just creative. Wayne's World is not Coneheads.
Right, Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy. Like, that's just, like, Lorne Michaels and SNL stars saying, what can we make? You know?
That's true.
I don't know. I never thought of it as edgy. It was more that they came up. Now everything is more political or it's more about current events. Right. SNL used to come up with characters that were timeless, that just were funny in the moment. And you could build on that. I'm not sure they do that anymore.
Yeah.
It is a different area. Admittedly, with comedy and stuff, it's just not. Although they still push the line. Like, you watch Weekend Update, they still make some jokes that are, like, well, suitable for line. Midnight on a Saturday night.
Yeah, there is. But I you know, it is with a purpose. I got to be honest, it's dropped off for me. I haven't. It used to be must watch for me, Saturday Night Live. I've been to the taping and live show a few times. Like, loved it. It just, there was a phase where I think it wasn't as strong. And maybe it's come back. I just haven't been able to.
Yeah, I don't watch it enough either. And it might be an age thing where.
That's true.
You know, there's something about it growing up. You love it. I don't think the cast members resonate like they once did.
No, that's true. Haven't touched it. I haven't, not one second of it in 15 years.
Who's the guy who's dating all the girls in Hollywood? He was an SNL. Like,
yeah, Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was in SNL, but he was kind of like Sandler, where he didn't really. He did some, like, Weekend Update stuff, and then he just became Pete Davidson. You know, it was just, like, he wasn't, like, acting or anything. Like, I don't recall him developing characters. It was like, okay, here's wild and wacky Pete Davidson. Come on out and talk about yourself. And, you know, you're with Kim Kardashian or you're with, you know, whoever it happens to be.
Yeah,
he's dating someone else now that is...
Dude, the guy
out of this world.
A machine. I don't know what's cooking with that cat, and I don't want to guess, but there's something there.
It's a Rolodex that is going in the Hall of Fame. It's no question. Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. The push to the playoffs is here, and BP's elite lineup of pizza, wings, and ice cold beers always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight. And try our new four-cheese ravioli bites, a game-changing appy that's only here for a limited time. So we got Steve Phillips in about a half an hour. Again, the Raptors are in action tonight. See Lamar Jackson tweeting about this Ken Francis character. He's trying to convince the world that Ken Francis is actually a real person.
It's not him.
I'm just convinced it's Lamar.
Yesterday he was like, he's got this like Total Gym or something it's called, and he's like, me and my business partner Ken Francis have come up with a one-stop gym thing, and he was out in the field doing chin-ups or something, or push-ups, and he's like, check this out, and I'm like, where is Ken Francis in the video?
Exactly. Yeah. It's Lamar. There's no Ken Francis. Ken Francis is Pokeroo. Like, anytime you want to see Ken Francis, you can't find
him. I'll buy that. I believe that Ken Francis is a fake person.
I'm starting to lean that way. And listen.
Has anyone seen a pic, or has anyone said, here's Ken Francis walking out of a hotel or a plane?
Not that I'm aware of. Now, teams are telling all of the reporters in football, someone going by Ken Francis is calling us. Somebody
Lamar.
Is calling us and trying to engage in contract negotiation with Lamar Jackson. And this character is going by the name of Ken Francis.
It sounds like a name that you would make up when you don't want to be yourself. Who is this? It's not me. It's Ken Francis.
You panic. You know, what's your name?
What's your guys' name? What's your name?
I'm going to be Ken Francis now. I'm going to steal this from Lamar. I want to be Ken Francis. Moving on. It's a good question, Noodles. But honestly, I don't think you can come up with it unless it's spontaneous. Like, it has to be in the moment where you're like, I got to come up with something. It's probably Bill. I say Gary too much, even though Gary's a name that's dying out.
If I had to come up with a fake name, I would take one name from one guy I work with. Joe from the Bridge. I'm Joe. Darren Dreger, and you don't make it Dreger, you make it Dragger. You're Joe Dragger.
Dragger.
Me, you could go like Roger Clark. Like just a
Roger
that's
Clark.
Ken Clark. Francis.
Like it's Ken Francis. Hey, I'm Roger Clark. Like that's my alter ego. And then you start calling people around and like, I'm scared, man. I'd like to know like a contract negotiation. Say Jeff McDonald's going to do a new contract with us, and I'll just deal with Roger Clark.
Yeah, I got Roger Clark representing me.
And you've got a towel over the phone trying to muffle it.
Right.
Well, I think he deserves a raise.
Yeah. You got to use your wife's phone or something.
Yeah, like,
call this number and see what's going on. But it's like Lamar, the discussion on whether or not he needs an agent is something I'm reluctant to get there because it's his life, it's his career. And there is a list of players that have found a way to negotiate their own deal, whether it was the right deal, the wrong deal, the best thing they could get. I don't know. But it does seem like he could use some professional advice to kind of help him through this. And I'm not sure Ken Francis is supplying that.
Dude, it's a bad business when you've got to this point. When you get to this point with no agent, someone has to step in your life and say, this is where you are with no agent. And if you had a high-end agent, this is done, and you have all the things you want. So if you really, you call some high-end guy and you just say, look, I'll give you however amount of money to get this deal done for me, and let's move on here.
Because surprised they're not calling him off the hook? Like, aren't you surprised big agents aren't like, this is a massive payday, and we want to represent you?
But it seems like part of the idea of not having the agent is because he doesn't want to buck up and pay the agent for the duration of the contract or whatever the nut is to pay the agent. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Can you call an agent and say, I'm sure you could, just like a realtor, if you kind of negotiated some kind of percentage. You say, look, you're not getting 10% or 3% or 5% of this deal because it's going to be a monster. But if I give you $400,000, can you negotiate the contract? Mm-hmm. Or whatever the deal you work out is.
Right.
Because he clearly needs it.
Yeah, he's got to figure something out here. Or he's going to go back on the franchise tag. He's still going to make a ton of money. But
isn't it just weird, though? Like, he's one of the – where is he ranked for you as far as – depth chart quarterbacks.
He's a top 10 guy. He's unique the way he played, but he's also been injured a lot. Like, that is a part of it. He's missed a lot of football the last couple of years.
But, I mean, like, shouldn't he just be sought out? Like, all hell should be breaking loose.
Right. Noodles, we're talking about top 10 quarterbacks in that category, but for the NFL, and we're talking about the entertainment value alone, and you talk about a draw and creating excitement at that position, he would be a top 5 guy you would want to bring into your organization all day long.
What is amazing is that there hasn't been an owner. Forget a GM. or
step
a coach
in and say, get that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, excuse me, let me explain to me why me, the owner, I wouldn't want 8 jerseys all over my stadium. You know, right. If I'm the owner and I haven't had a quarterback in 15 years, you know, if I'm the new owner of the Washington Commanders, explain to me why Lamar doesn't make sense for me.
No
selling
kidding.
Tickets
down
and
the street,
more ball games down the, yeah. Exactly, ripping them away from Baltimore. That's where it gets confusing to me. Is
yeah.
You know, coaches and GMs, they get arrogant, they get silly, they get their own plan, they think they want their own guy, whatever, fine. But they have to be answering to the owner. The yeah. owner calls a GM and says, go get him. Guess what happens?
Goes and gets him.
They absolutely go and get him. There isn't, like, I don't care who you are, Bill Belichick, it doesn't matter how bold you think you are. The owner says you're doing it, you're doing it.
For
end
sure.
of story. Every
remember,
single time.
Remember Philadelphia Flyers, Ed Snyder goes to Holmgren, go get me a goalie. They signed the guy who scared of Bears there.
Ilya Brizgalov.
Brizgalov for $50 million. Like,
yep.
It happens. Owners step in. It's just really weird like that. There should be more noise around, like, a lineup for this guy based on
nothing.
A lot of teams. He would be an upgrade at the quarterback position.
No question. 20 teams in the league. Now, not some teams have younger kids. Some teams are about to draft a quarterback. You know, there are different scenarios, but you can come up with 5 off the top of your head where you'd say that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened. We talked about the Luka Doncic money sign routine.
Yeah.
You got fined $35,000, which I can't quite reason with, because if you've determined that that's what he's doing, $35,000 to me doesn't seem like much, relatively speaking. Like,
for
Van
him,
Vliet
yeah.
went off, but Van Vliet was talking. And it wasn't, listen, Van Vliet took a run at Ben Taylor. Took a run. But, like, the integrity of the sport, of the you're on the take, you're getting money to make sure we don't lose signal, seems
dude, I
like
can't
it should
believe
be steeper than $35,000.
I can't believe that he just... Like, and I know you claim to know that that was on the take message, but I would have gone to bat and said, I would have died on the hill and said, I meant that he made too much money. He made too much money. How could you possibly find me? I would have died on that hill.
Okay, but the
lied
NBA
my ass off.
Clearly sees it.
They
the
can't
way
make
I see
assumptions.
It.
They can't
just
make
did.
Assumptions.
They fined him $35,000.
But I get it. But why? Like, he might have admitted it if he's that dumb to say, yeah, I was talking about him being on the take. I would have said you make too much money to be that bad. That was the gesture I'm talking about.
Even that is worth something. And maybe that was his sales pitch. Is I wasn't saying he's, you know, on the take or there's no integrity. I was saying this guy, even though that's completely ridiculous, you make too much money. There's no way that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they bought it hook, line, and sinker. I don't know.
I is there somewhere in the... In the CBA, that's the max allowed for a fine?
I don't
like
believe
that.
So, Noodles.
Because we see it all the time in hockey. It's like, maximum, penalty allowed, $5,000 fine.
Right.
You give a cross check to somebody. Tavares got, $2,500 the other day? Was it 25 or 5 grand for the slash?
I think it was 5. I think it was the high end of it, I believe.
Yeah, $5,000. Exactly. So it's just, I wonder if what the magic number. How did they get to 35?
I don't know, because Van Vliet was 30. He's 35.
Right.
You know, see some players have been fined $100,000, more than $100,000. That's for, like, derogatory comments and stuff.
Right,
but,
right.
All right, Steve Phillips in about 20 minutes. Raptors Pistons tonight. Dear Hazy B at 6:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. The push to the playoffs is here, and BP's elite lineup of pizza, wings, and ice-cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight and try our new 4-Cheese Ravioli Bites, a game-changing appy that's here for a limited time only. This is giving me flashbacks, man. This Night at the Roxbury movie, this is the kind of music that Andy would play too, right? Andy Pichella
sure.
would play this type of stuff all the time. And... yeah, we got a big one tonight with the Raptors Pistons. Mandatory win night. That's what we've been calling it. But Achiuwa,
not
Trent
for everyone.
And Barnes, they're out again tonight. It's not even a game time decision anymore. It's been rolled back, right? A couple nights ago, it was a game time decision. Now, they're like an hour and a half away from tip. Forget it. Not going.
Dude, I always, and I wasn't like, well, maybe I was. I was mentally tough. not mentally tough, but I wanted to always say I'm playing. And it drove you nuts when a guy was like, you're talking big games here. You mentioned it. You said it. Big game.
And gotta win. Like, have to win.
And three important pieces are like, I just can't pull it off tonight. You're just looking at him like, really? You can't grind it out tonight. Is that what you're telling me? Like, right. It's kind of life or death, and that's what you got?
What are you saving it for? And fine.
And I also understand, Hazy, you can't judge on the injury. I don't know what the hell's wrong with them. I do understand that. But when they're called a game-time decision, that's kind of looking like they might play.
That's what's confusing for me.
And you would think the idea of life or death game puts
you in. Someone saying, I can give it a go. You know, I'm going to dress tonight. And let me give it a shot, you know. And
yes.
It's not like they're going 11, 12 guys deep into the bench anyway. Like, whoever's at the end of the bench isn't playing. So if one of these guys thinks, like, I can give it a shot, maybe I can't go once we get into things, I'll let you know. It's not really going to affect the rotation.
Some guys have it in their head that they're not going on the court, they're not going on the field, they're not going on the ice unless they are 100%.
Yes.
And that's the way they operate, and they're not going to deviate from that stance.
Nope. That's the truth.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know. It's not the team like being like at some point maybe one of them, like, you know, all three. That's what's weird for me.
I'm in the same boat. Like, they didn't practice and all that. I get you. If there's one of like over, that's six collective game time decisions 0-for-6. Like, that is kind of tough to believe this late in the season when you got to have it. That said, against Detroit, like against Indiana. Shouldn't matter. You still got to win this game.
Should win.
You got to win this game tonight. Steve Phillips coming up in the final hour. Alec Manoah will get the ball opening day. His take on that and more. Dear Hazy B coming up and looking ahead to a busy season or weekend for the Leafs and for the Raptors. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.